irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to the Max. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. You're listening to Max and Friends only on LA Talk Radio. We've got an amazing show for you tonight. We're going to find out how to tune into your passion, develop your passion, and your passion in life is different than your purpose in life. Or maybe the two are combined. We'll find out because we've got a great guest on. But before we have a great guest on, we have my co-host Tamara in the studio. Pull up your mic, girlfriend.
Hey, Mr. Max. I am so glad you're back here with us this fine Sunday night. And how was your week?
My week was amazing. I've got to tell you all right now, real quick. I have an update flashed aboard my desk right now in the studio. T-Mobile subscribers, if you're on your Sidekick that's been down for 3 days, your web browser has been restored and your data shall be restored tomorrow. There is a God. So I have to let everybody know that. So just to let you all know. Also, T-Mobile customers, I was going to say some other things about T-Mobile. Definitely call in to get your refund on your Sidekick, the $20 a month fee, because it's been a travesty. Anyway, I've got to report that because people have been hounding me all day because they know I'm the Sidekick King for T-Mobile. So, Tamara, my week was amazing. Today was the Hunter Pace here for the horses. I was in Florida. I had a high colonic. Drive today. And plus, it's been some of my friends' birthdays, so happy birthday to Anne Berlin and Aaron Ralph, Sabri, and Jenny Oz. You know Jenny Oz, everyone. She has the Tavern on the Green in New York. But it's been an amazing week, Tamara. And then on top of everything, you know I'm going to be in Who's Who for 2010.
That's right.
So LA Talk Radio is now going to be a part of Who's Who in 2010 because it's in my biography.
Wow. Well, so we're just moving on up there.
Fun. And I've got to tell you, you remember we spoke about, and I told you last week when I called in from Florida, that I went to go see the Sherry show, or Sherry on Lifetime?
That's right, with The View.
But she's on The View every day on ABC, but now Sherry has her own show, Sherry Shepherd that is, called Sherry. It premieres tomorrow on Lifetime. It is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. I would have the great pleasure to see, you know, the pilot. Then I had the great pleasure to see it in action live with Sherry Shepherd. Lifetime, everyone. Tune in. Tomorrow, the 5th of October, is the premiere. It's going to be a new episode every day this week. So definitely you have to check that out because Sherry is an amazing human being. And I just give her all of my best wishes because when I was thinking about Sherry, I'm like, you know what? God has given that woman some abundance, and it is totally appearing in her life. She's got so much going on. So congratulations, Sherry Shepherd, on your show, Sherry. Lifetime, debuting tomorrow, the 5th on Lifetime. Go to lifetime.com for more information. And Eduardo Zoll, you all know him from Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Tomorrow he's welcoming home a family, so tune in to ABC. Go to abc.com for more information on that. How was your week, Tamara?
It was incredible. I had an amazing week. I've just been doing a lot of decluttering, just getting rid of the old, making room for new, just trying to live in that law of non-resistance. So, yeah, I know that was one of the things we were going to bring up tonight, too.
You know, I heard this amazing term called the law of non-resistance. If we have time tonight, we're going to talk about it. If not, we're definitely going to have a show based about it because it is so amazing. And my quote for tonight actually comes from the whole the law of non-resistance, because my quote is that when you let go, you open yourself for new opportunities. And that's basically in the whole law of non-resistance. It's a French book from about 50 years ago. I'm trying to get a copy of it now. So we'll tune into that. But we have an amazing guest on. We had him on last week. There was so much response to him. We're like, Tamara's like, Max, we got to bring him back for you. So we have Greg in the house. Greg is the founder and president of Life Camp. Through his workshops, consulting, services, and coaching, Greg empowers the leader inside you to become the master of your career and your relationships, and to love your life so much that you are too busy to indulge in harmful addictions. So, I mean, it is like, you all are going to have a breakthrough tonight. People, get ready to tune into yourself, to find out what your heart virtues are, to find out why you love your life, to find out how you can be fulfilled, to find out about Life Camp, which is lifecamp.com, to find out exactly what heart virtues are. We want you to tune in, don't we, Tamara?
We do.
And, you know, Greg has trained people, tens of thousands of people since 1998, including Olympic gold medalists, Emmy and Grammy and Academy Award winners, billionaires, and most powerful clients like mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, and everyday people. And there's a three-step program. So I want you all to check out lifecamp.com is the website. If you need more information, you could always go there. Go to maxtucci.com. But definitely check out lifecamp.com because tonight is the night. I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night. Don't you?
It is, baby. It's going to be a great night. I love Greg. Let's call him up in the studio.
Well, that's
Mr.
Just
Greg.
Pull up the mic. Greg, welcome
bring
to Max.
Bring it on. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Well, hey, guys. It is great to be here. I have a lot of exciting news to share with you guys. I just recently, just 2 days ago, I had the opportunity to spend a little time with Richard Branson and the Dalai Lama and some amazing people that just were sharing empowerment wisdom. So I am like, I am stoked and full. Ready
for your
show. Are
you juiced and ready to go?
You're juiced up. Yeah.
You've got that natural... the natural, what do we call it?
Natural them? High.
Steroids, natural steroids.
Yes.
If we don't get started here, I'm going to explode.
All right. Well, that will be another show because Tamara, you know, is our sex expert on the show. So save your exploding for our sex shows. But until then,
right.
You know, can you, Greg, tell us real quick, what exactly is Life Camp and how did you get started?
Well, you know, it started because I think everybody that really starts something they're passionate about, it's related to, you know, if we haven't experienced something that's really just intolerable, then I don't know that we actually have the pain, the passion or the credentials to talk about something. So Life Camp was really my brainchild because I was like, there's got to be a better way to live than this. You know, when we were listening to the Dalai Lama this weekend, he really was hard on the school system and how it just... to really stand in their own power and resist the things they know are not working for them.
Absolutely. Now, would you say that Life Camp is your testimony?
It's actually, you know, it's born because I could not stand watching people go through life like cattle. Like, all right, I'm going to graduate school, I'm going to graduate college. And the thing that happened was that when I was in the monastery, we had to visit nursing homes. And you get to see what's at the very end of this whole thing where I'm just going to go get my credentials and my degree and my PhD or whatever. And then, you know, I'm going to accumulate so much money that I can be, you know, safe and retire. And then you see these people rotting away, literally, their lives rotting in nursing homes. And the look in their eyes is a look of betrayal. That I trusted this system, and this system screwed me. I'm laying here rotting away, and I thought this is what life should have been about. And it's not. And so the reason I started Life Camp was so that people could really live, you know, like the George Burnses and the Bob Hopes of this world and find the thing they're passionate about, go out and do it for the rest of their lives so when they're 100 years old, they're still going, this is what I want to do every
day.
So
how do we go about doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. The first thing, someone was asking me this weekend, and you know, in this group, I was speaking to 500 people, and somebody asked me right square in the front of the group, how do you find your passion? I said, you don't find it, and it won't find you. You choose it, and you create it, or you will never know what your passion and your calling is in life. And that's the major misconception. We wait to find it. We wait for some mentor to tell us what our passion is. And the reason we do that basically is because we're cowards. We want someone else to tell us what to do. Because if it screws up and it doesn't work, then you get to blame them. But if you were to choose it yourself and say, I choose that my passion is going to be about empowering children or women, or, you know, I'm going to go out and make sure that men are living a noble life, then if it flops, you're completely responsible, and most people just don't want that responsibility.
Well, you know, Greg, I got to tell you, I always say you have to be responsible for your actions in life and also say, take accountability, people. But, you know, I've got to ask you a question, Greg. Like, what happens if you feel like you have, like, 100 different passions?
Okay, so here's the one that here's how you narrow it down. There's three things that I use to narrow down a person's, if you have a whole bunch of interests: your rage, your pain, and your fear. And it's the opposite. Most people think, go out and find a career or a livelihood doing what you're good at. And that is the biggest misconception. If you go do what you're good at, you're going to be bored in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. We see people changing. You know, it's like, do you know what 80% of America's workforce says, I'd rather have another job? 80% of America's workforce is unhappy with their job. The way to identify your passion is by using your rage, your pain, and your fear. Here's what I mean by that. Your rage is, what is this thing you will not tolerate? What's the thing that you can't stand see happening to people? Because we've got a lot of motivation there.
Okay, I'll tell you mine. You know, mine, I can tell you right now, because I think Tamara and I, we spoke about this last week after the show because we have our follow-ups, and my response to that was injustice.
Yeah.
Great. So what kind of injustice? To who? To children? To men? Is it racism? Is it have to do with some kind of sexist thing? What is
no,
the injustice
in
that really
is? Like, it's with the general word, it's injustice basically to humanity. In general, it includes children, men, women, the suffering.
Got it. Great. Now, the second element is your pain. So what's the thing that you've been through that nobody should have to go through?
One thing?
Okay, but take a look at, we're putting three pieces of the puzzle together. So there's a particular injustice that you actually have experience with. So your rage is injustice. Now, what's your pain? What's the one thing that you will not that you've been through that no one should ever have to go through that has to do with injustice? And take a look at somewhere between the ages of like 2 and 15.
Loss.
Yes, and you know what? Let me say something too, that you guys have something very much in common, that both of you guys lost your father between 8 and 9 years of age. Both of you guys did.
Right.
My loss is more, I mean, that for me, though, I got to tell you, the loss of my father wasn't the rage. The loss of my father was the insight to see that life is so short that we really have to enjoy it. The loss for me, there's a movie called The Affair of the Necklace, where this woman, basically, who's played by Hilary Swank, she loses her family house. She loses her inheritance and her family meaning. And I think the loss for that, for people's identity, to lose, you know, what their family has created, is the rage that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Now, I want you to see how those are related. You've got injustice, you've got the loss of your father, and the loss of everything that the family created. So we're starting to really see a pattern here. Now, let's take the third ingredient. The third is your fear. And your fear is going to be the thing that identifies your niche or your direction. Because, you know, most people, it's really funny. Do you know what the number one greatest human fear is?
What is it?
Public speaking. Now, this is hilarious to me.
That's
have
not my problem.
Have you ever seen someone get their arms sheared off while they're speaking, you know, doing public speaking? Or have you ever seen somebody, like, you know, fall to the floor in a puddle of pain through public speaking?
Not in this country.
No.
So here's what I want to point out. Most people's fears are actually excitements. It's a misinterpretation of the feelings coming from our chest.
Yeah, because I've got to tell you, for me, I don't really have fear. I mean, mine was very much, and I'm going to go there, Bible-based with the whole, I mean, I was grown up with the perception that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So to tell you the truth, though, I really don't have fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we take, if you're a pretty fearless guy, because you've probably faced most of your fears, you've been courageous in life, right, Max?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's how you eliminate fears. And that's for the listeners on the line, you know, if you guys are fearful and you're walking around feeling like you got to have a lot of anxiety and fear, I'm going to give you a formula right now that will work for you for the rest of your life. One small act of courage a day. One small act of courage every day. You do that for 1 year, and you'll be living a relatively fearless life, because the only way to be fearless is to face your fears. Either your fears are manipulating you, or you're facing them. So the three ingredients, your rage and your pain. Now, what's the thing, when we talk about fear, there's probably a sector of humanity that makes you a little nervous. You know, is it like, maybe it's kids, maybe it's women, maybe it's homeless people, or people, you know, that have AIDS, or people in a third world nation, or people that, who knows, that maybe they have too much money. That was one of the people that made me feel really uncomfortable. What would yours be?
Mine, I really don't have one. I mean, I grew up such a robust life where I've dealt with, you know, I have friends who have AIDS, I have friends in third world countries, I have friends who are billionaires. You know, for me, it's just I was subjected to so much at a young age that really nothing stands in front of me fearful-wise.
Great. So the way you would use this formula, then you'd say, okay, I have an injustice that has to do with, you know, families and people not really having a family that's kept together and is intact. Take that, and then as you go through it's one small act of courage a day, you will discover exactly what that passion is, literally within 90 days. But it takes that one small act of courage a day. If you go out and you're like, all right, you know, maybe you're going to call a politician, you're going to ask him, hey, you know what, I want you to be on my show, and I have a specific request that you address this issue that has to do with families not really being treated fairly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it makes sense because when I watch like the show Extreme Makeover Home Edition and I see the family's house being rebuilt, like that's because Tamara's like, do you cry at any movies? I'm like, not really, because I know that movies are movies and a lot of them are made up. But like these reality shows, like once that house is built for Extreme Makeover Home Edition and it's like they welcome home the family, it's like, oh my God, I cry at that. I'm like so happy that these families have had their homes rebuilt and they have now a place to live.
Right.
Well, now we're dealing with something that's uniquely different. And this is the thing that when we take the goosebumps and rage moments of your life, those moments that are so beautiful and so meaningful, they literally give you goosebumps. Here's what's really interesting. We can actually take an inventory of those and find what is the one theme that runs through those goosebumps moments. Now we're talking about something that's way more in alignment with your purpose. Because you were talking about passion and purpose. Mm-hmm. So your passion comes from your rage, your pain, and your fear. And your purpose comes from two experiences we have. And the first is the goosebumps experiences. When you get those goosebumps by watching, you know, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, there's something going on in those instances that's touching you so deeply, that's such a meaningful experience that literally you're moved to tears running down your cheeks. Most people don't pay attention to those. But if you took out a piece of paper and laid them out and wrote them down, you'd start to get to know yourself and see what those themes are.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, I even went so far because it was so meaningful to me, like these shows where people get, you know, where people get these homes and they move in and such, that I joined myself with this committee in Florida called SOS Children's Villages. And they're not just in Florida, but SOSFlorida.com is one of them. But there are villages all over the United States and the world, 365 plus of them. And what I did was I became friends with Eduardo Zoll, who's on Extreme Makeover. And I went to SOS. I became chairman of that ball that year for the committee. And I said, let's bring him in. Let's give him the Spirit of Home Award, because not necessarily that he's involved with SOS, but he does what we do. We provide homes for children and families. So we brought him in. We had our gala event. And we raised great money. We gave him this award for Spirit of Hope. And, you know, we gave more exposure to SOS Florida. So for me, you know, I took that, I guess, that purpose that you're talking about, and I put it into action. So where does that put me now that I feel like, okay, I've done that?
Now, okay, but listen to the tone in your voice, Max. I mean, my God, you've got more energy than any three power plants in California. You know, you're constantly, you're on edge, you're alive, this is what I got to let you guys know. If you start taking that one small act of courage today, you're going to liberate incredible energy in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I studied was quantum physics. And when I studied quantum physics, it was like the thing that we learned is that people think, they have this weird concept that life is a journey, not a destination. You've probably heard that, you know, life is a journey, not a destination. Some little nugget of wisdom in there. I believe that's crap. I do not believe life is a journey or a destination. Your life is a sphere. And what I mean by that is most people, if you think of who you really are and what you are, now I want you to do something. I want you to point to yourself. Just point to yourself. Everybody on the line. And here's what you're going to notice. 99% of the people are pointing to their chest right now. They're pointing right at their heart. So what we are is a sphere, and the very center, the nucleus of that sphere, is your heart. Most people are walking around with their spheres about the size of a basketball, and they feel threatened because they have no sphere of influence in anywhere in the world. They keep their thoughts to themselves. They never step out. They take no acts of courage, and so they walk around blaming everybody for what happens to them.
Real quick, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, you're live on Max and Friends. Who's this?
Max?
Yeah.
Hi, Max.
Hi, Max.
Hi, who's calling?
It's Rose.
And Eric.
Rose, where are you calling from tonight?
Boca Raton, Florida.
Well, I'm glad that you're calling in. I want to ask you, we're talking right now about what our purpose is and what our passion is in life. What do you feel about purpose and passion?
Okay. Okay. From the top of my head, I believe we all have purpose and passion. Some people find a passion, but not their purpose. I haven't found mine yet, as we speak, actually.
But so now, would you like to ask, we have an amazing guy on tonight, Greg, and we're talking about this. Do you have a specific question that you want to direct towards Greg about passion or about purpose?
Yes. I need a sense of direction.
Good. So Rose, I want to address one thing right away, and you guys may have picked this up. Your listeners probably picked this up. What she said is, I want to find my passion. And I want to be really clear with you, Rose. You will never find your passion. And if you're waiting to find your passion, you will never know your passion. You choose it or create it. And I know that's a difficult thing to do, but what I'm telling you is basically, if you actually choose a passion, and I don't care which one it is, and then you take a small act of courage every day to pursue that passion, in a very short amount of time, about 3 months, you will have so much data that you'll know what your passion is, and no one will ever be able to take it away from you. But if you're waiting for some instruction, and I mean, look, I was a monk for 8 years, and I was meditating 5 to 6 hours a day, waiting for God to tell me what to do with my life. And the conclusion I came to after 8 years of that was, you know what, God's not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go out and do whatever the hell really lights me up, and if I don't find something that lights me up, I'll go do something else, and I'm going to really live life fully from the inside out. So, Rose, does that make sense to you? Does it make sense to you that you're not going to find your passion, but if you choose something, choose it yourself, not because anyone tells you, because you sitting right here on the phone say, you know what, I care about these particular group of people, I'm going to pursue my passion.
Mm-hmm.
About the purpose.
Okay, so your purpose, take an inventory like we were talking to Max. Your purpose, take an inventory of the things that are most meaningful to you. Now, most people's lives are designed to be safe and reasonable. Like, okay, what can I do today? All right, well, that's not reasonable. I'm not going to go do that. Meaningful is the opposite of reasonable. And here's how we identify what's meaningful. The things that give you goosebumps. I don't care if it's seen from a book, or take a look at the moments. Just go back over the past 5 years of time you've spent with family or friends or lovers. What are those moments that are so beautiful they literally gave you goosebumps? When you can write those out on a piece of paper and start and list, like a separate column for each one of those things, what are the things that are meaningful to me? You're going to see your purpose literally is going to shine out from those things. It's going to be crystal clear to you. But it takes doing that inventory. Now, here's what's difficult. You want it to be reasonable. You want it to make sense first. Finding your passion and your purpose is not a reasonable process. It's a meaningful process. You know, I work with super achievers, these Olympic gold medalists and Academy and Grammy winners. These are people that have, you know, they thought they found their purpose. They've made millions of dollars. They're super achievers. They've got fame. They've got fortune. And they show up working with me because they're like, there's got to be more to life than this. And I got to tell you, what we work on is showing them how to, you know, money is one currency. Fame is a currency, actually, and it's another currency, but there's a third currency that few people have learned to master, and it's the currency of creating meaningful experiences. It's the currency of being able to create the experiences that literally move you to tears on a regular basis. So, finding your passion is a simple process. Finding your purpose is an equally simple process. And at the same time, it's not an understandable process, but it's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Do you get it, Rose?
Counter-
Yes, I do. I have to disagree on a few points because I don't feel exactly the same way. But I want to keep an open mind, and I will definitely apply the advice that was given to me tonight.
Well, you know what's another really good thing to consider when you're watching movies like We Are Marshall or When the Underdog Wins or like Rudy, when someone acts in spite of fear and out of courage, rises up to meet the challenge, and when people stand up and are cheering behind them or that character. I mean, there's something inside of me that goes, oh my God. I mean, just even Forrest Gump when he does his thing. I mean, whatever it is that ignites you and allows an experience and a feeling and emotion to rise up inside of you that gives you that feeling of being alive, I think that that's what Greg is talking about, is tapping into that and then recreating those experiences with the people that you're close with. Instead of waiting for them to happen, just notice what already moves you anyway.
Well, you know, I've got to say real quick to that response, Tamara, Rose. Rose gave me the most incredible advice the other night. So, Rose, I think maybe, and I'm going to speak for you, so correct me if I'm out of line. But the other night we had a wonderful conversation. It's very seldom that you find someone to converse with that actually gets it. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. Rose dispensed such wonderful advice. So Rose, maybe your purpose in life is to help people get through circumstances. Would that make sense?
That makes sense to me.
And let me ask a question, Rose. You mentioned that you didn't necessarily agree. So what is the thing that's meaningful to you that keeps you from agreeing with what I said? I must have said something that either violated something that you believe in or challenged something you believe in. What is that thing?
Well, that will definitely challenge my belief, but I'm willing to do so, just to see, to explore what's behind.
What do you disagree on, though, Rose?
What do you? I'm not sure I agree with you.
Because the fact that you associate people with the purpose and the passion, because of that, I'm very. I won't say independent, but let's say on my own, self-sufficient. I don't know how to reach out to those people, make them talk my passion and purpose. But I know that I need others.
You need others? Okay. Do you need others to tell you what your passion and purpose is, or do you need others so that you can act out your passion and purpose and make a contribution?
To act out, I believe. Not to tell me, but to act out. But I just don't know how I have to begin the process. But like you say, I'm going to do some, I'm going to reflect on my thoughts and go toward that goal and see.
So let me give you a very specific exercise. Do you have an address book or a list of contacts?
Yes.
Okay. Take that list out, and I want you to go through those names, and every time you run across a name of a person that's either like, oh my God, I shouldn't call them, or, you know, oh my God, you can't make me call them, I want you to write all those names out, and if you call every one of those people and take a small act of courage every day to actually just to make a contribution, call those people, what's going to happen is at the end of that list, you're going to actually get a lot of real personal data. You'll figure out quite close. And you'll also be exposing a little bit of your passion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say that you do speak the truth. You know, I can feel it. So if my body feels it, I know you're being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be clear, Rose. If I could do this for you, if there was a way that I could do this for you, I would do it. But what I've found in working with people for years, coaching them over 8 years, is the more I do for one of my clients, the less they will do for themselves and the less they'll trust themselves. And so, could you promise me that you'll actually take this small act of courage every day, whatever it is, because I can see you want to know your purpose. You didn't call in today because you're just going to be sitting in the background being a listener. You're actually being proactive in your life. So I'm asking you to take the next step. Will you do that?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Do it. Thank you.
All right, Rosie. Well, thank you so much for calling. And you and I, Rose, will talk after the show because there's so much more we're going to talk about. Actually, Tamara, Rose is the woman who's introduced me to the law of non-resistance. So there's more to just her calling in. So thank you, Rose, for calling in. I hope that, you know, you can understand now what the purpose is in life and what passions are, and that you break that, you know, that wall of fear and move forward and discover what it is, because I always say change doesn't change until you change. So if you're ready to change, you're going to find what your purpose and your passion in life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, and I love that, taking a small act of courage every day. I mean, that very thing that you fear, just do it.
I'll take a challenge. I'll do it.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Rose. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Have a good night, all of you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rose.
Bye, Nova.
Now, Greg, do you agree with this statement, change doesn't change until you change?
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually like another statement, unchange. Okay. You know, we seem to be addicted to change in quite a few ways. And you talk about, you like this act of, like, really, what is it, non-resistance, or what's the term you use, embracing everything?
It's the law of non-resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the law of non-resistance. You know, is one of the things that has made the biggest impact in my life is when I realized that nothing on this planet is working against anything else on this planet, that there's really only one thing that's wanting to happen. Mm-hmm. And my experience of that law of non-resistance is that if I recognize that everything is actually working together toward evolution, that the goal and the purpose of life is evolution, then in order for things to evolve, there's going to have to be some resistance. Right, there's going to have to be things that come up and resist. Like, would you go to the gym if there were no weights there?
Like, I would. Personally, I would because I hate weights. But yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Well, we all hate the weights. But the point is, they strengthen our muscles. And so, yeah. How do you strengthen someone's character? How do you make a person evolve? Well, you throw all this stuff that basically exercises their psyche and their spirituality and their morals and their ethics and their virtues. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating that the one thing that actually led me to this place of non-resistance was to actually realize that all the resistance that's going on is actually the only thing that's causing that to be, you know, to be difficult for me is the fact that I'm resisting the resistance. But when I embraced that the things that are resisting me, like going to the gym, you don't sit there and curse the weights while you're picking up. You're grunting and you're groaning and you're like, oh my God, you know, this is all. And then, you know, you get down and you go take your shower and you feel fantastic. So there's really just one thing that's wanting to happen. And one of my favorite quotes, we are not 6 billion people living in one world. We are one people living in 6 billion worlds. And so we're all working together toward the same thing called evolution. And just because we're different, we each have our own unique world, which is that sphere I was talking about. You know, we're all living in our own little sphere. And we don't experience life like, you know, some line or something. You experience your life like you're sitting in a sphere. If you look out right now, you're looking out and there are things, you know, that are out radially from you. And if the person across the room sphere, it would be a slightly different sphere. They'd be describing something totally different. Martin Luther King had a sphere that went out 100,000 people when he said, I have a dream. He had 100,000 people in his sphere. Gandhi had 900 million people in his sphere when he talked about liberating India. So most people have a sphere that's about the size of a basketball. I mean, what's it like to actually embrace that the people in your world aren't working against you? What if you were actually going to be the proactive force that makes a difference in their lives so that they evolve? And so embracing, to me, allows me to see, okay, what am I committed to? What are the things that I'm going to speak and have be meaningful? I'm going to fill my sphere. And when you talk about change, every time I've actually experienced a huge, like, transformation in my life, and tell me if this is true for you, Max. When you've experienced an enormous change, is it true that you actually changed yourself, or is it true that you got clarity about something that was always true for you?
Well, I have to think about that. Probably clarity.
Right, because we don't want to be changed. Try to change somebody. What happens to them?
Well, then people resist the change. If you ask someone to change, and I mean, most of the time, if I say to someone, you know, you have to change, they become defensive.
Yeah.
Right. So, but what happens when you actually ask somebody a bunch of questions and get real committed to seeing that they have clarity in their life, and you ask them these Socratic questions, like, what's really meaningful to you? And if there were no restrictions on your life, what would you do? And if you found a genie bottle on the beach and you could have anything you want, what would it be? And if all of the obstacles in your life were things you could get over, who would you be and what would you look like? And all of a sudden, they get this breakthrough. It's like, oh, my God, this is what I would do. Thank you, Greg. You changed my life. I'm sitting here laughing because I'm going, actually, I unchanged your life. Your life was changed in school. It was changed to you thinking from age 2 when you were brilliant and beautiful and passionate. You were living life like a master. And then you went through school. You got your life changed. And all
you know,
I did
that's
was
really
ask
funny
enough questions.
Because I've always wanted to start a school called the School of Nonconformity.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Because I'm a big believer. When we grew up, my father was one of these amazing people, and we always went traveling. We always learned things. We always did things. So we were exposed to, and I shouldn't say school because obviously I went to school, but it was like the Auntie Mame of school. You know, and I think that that knowledge of schooling to explore life, to see what there is so powerful for the development of a mind. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Do you know where the word education actually comes from? It comes from a Latin word, which is educo, mm-hmm. and it means to bring forth or to draw out. So what education is supposed to be doing is drawing the brilliance out of people, not getting them to conform. And here's what's really interesting. You know, if you look at how school is set up, and I want to be real clear, schools are funded by corporations or by the government, which is funded by corporations. And so the purpose of school is not to have you go out and be an amazing entrepreneur, live your life doing what you love to do, because those corporations that write the curriculum do not want you competing with them in the workplace. So the purpose of school is to have you go out and get a job. J-O-B, just over broke. If you go out and get a job working, you know, it's like doing the thing that somebody else is telling you to do, then you're going to live that kind of lifestyle, and that's what school does. But if you get people that are doing what they love to do, and I want to be really clear about this. My father worked in the post office for 38 years, and he loved his job. He wouldn't call it a job. He'd say, you know what, this is, you know, he would talk about how honorable, you know, that he got to do this thing that supported his family. So when I talk about a job, I'm talking about the thing that has you feeling like, I got to do this to stay just over broke. If you love your job and you're passionate about it, you're in that 20% instead of being in the 80%, so stick with it. But if you feel like you're sacrificing and settling for something less, then go get yourself a true education, which means to draw your brilliance forth. Find mentors. Find somebody like Max that'll be crazy until you're doing what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got a job right now because it's half show, and my job is right now, everyone go to Delta.com to find out what flights are on sale. Check out their low-fare deals and plan your escape at Delta.com. So that's the way I fly, and they're offering a fantastic deal right now. You get 20,000 bonus miles and 5,000 close miles to a medallion status for their new Delta American Express card. Go on Delta.com to apply now. Now I've got to tell you all, if you want to call in, the number here is 323-203-0815. I know we've had some callers. I'm sorry we couldn't take you, but we've got a show going on. It's live, so call in. Caller, you're back. Who's this, and where are you calling from?
This is Kevin.
Kevin, where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin.
From Los Angeles. How are you?
Oh, Kevin, you're one of our guests for this show tonight.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
That's all right. You're here now. But, Kevin, just give me one moment because I have to wrap up my Delta.com thing going on right here. There's hot deals and offers at Delta, so check out Delta.com. What's ahead in 2010? You'll read everything there. And check it out because it's the way I fly, Delta.com. All right, back to the show.
Mm-hmm. And Greg, is Greg still with us?
Greg is still with us, yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm here.
Okay. You guys, I got to say, too, that Greg is a master at bringing out the best in people because that's one of the things he doesn't do is just go up and with this resistance of needing to change. He really does it through questions and brings out the best of what is in the person he's speaking with. And it's like watching a flower just unfold, just bud and just open up. And it's beautiful.
Now,
and
Tim, we're all capable. You have to tell us how we.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm sorry, Max, you were breaking up. What?
You have to say how you met our caller on right now.
Oh my gosh, I've known Greg for like 6 years. He was giving a quantum physics class, and of course I just love that stuff. So we met a long time ago, and then we've run into each other through different seminars and different talks for the last couple of years, and then we recently got together a couple of months ago. So it's
and
been
then we
extraordinary.
Also have Kevin on. So how did you meet Kevin?
Kevin came and spoke in my human sexuality class, and it was extraordinary what he was sharing with my group of kids that are all over 18. So he has a very similar background, too, with Greg. I know that they're going to have a lot in common with being a life coach and studying physics and studying evolution and what causes for our soul to wake up and be a part of this human race in a way that is not the mundane. So welcome, Kevin. I'm so glad to have you part of the show, too. And Greg's on the line here with us, and you are, too. So, gosh, what brings you – tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I wanted to say that as I was listening to what Greg was talking about a little while ago, I had struggled for a long time getting people to understand the difference between passion and purpose. Mm-hmm. Until the moment I came with passion is God-given, purpose is how you choose to apply the gift.
Okay.
Passion is God-given and purpose is how you choose to apply your gift, did you say?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So when you work with people to identify their purpose and their passion, how do you do that?
The way I do it is I get them to figure out what it is that makes them smile from their heart, from the sphere you speak of. I call it the heart. You're talking from the spirit. But what is it that makes that sphere smile, that heart smile? And then at that point, now choose how to use that to effectively move yourself and collective nature forward.
Right. So purpose is sort of how that, you start with the passion, which is what is the feeling, what is the experience that really makes somebody light up? And then the purpose is how are you going to use that to deliver value or contribution to the world? Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I love talking to other life coaches because I always learn something. Everyone's got a perspective. If you've worked with people and you know, you've had an impact with them, and you know, here's the funny thing, it's like, you know, we were talking about having, you know, people find their passion, their purpose, and how they really want to have that happen because someone tells them what it is. You know, Kevin, have you found that if you try to tell your clients what to do versus being deeply interested and curious and just asking a lot of questions and listening, do you find that that's more impactful, or do you find your clients like being given straight, direct instructions on what to do?
Oh, you know, when they come to me because they're tired of people telling them what to do. They're tired of people giving them instruction. In fact, if I attempt to, I'm equaling nothing but a train wreck in their life. So
yeah,
it's really about bringing it up. The losses I've been taught many times over is to recognize the seed that fills it or the seed that produces it. I have to say one of the amazing people that I work with on a weekly basis is also a monk. He calls himself the American Monk. He was in India and Nepal and the monasteries over there for over 7 years. So like yourself, from what I understand.
Maybe Greg knows him.
His name's Dr. Stephen Harris.
Very good. You know, and I'm finding people really do want there to be a spiritual component to all this now, and they want to find something that's actually spiritually rewarding like that. You know, we were talking about being deeply interested in someone with an ulterior motive. One of the absolute masters of this was a guy named Einstein. And, you know, he basically said his gift was that he was passionately curious. You know, and the one thing that we train our coaches to be, we've trained 40 coaches to take them through the Heart Virtue Process and the Life Camp coaching, is the one thing we train them to be is curious. We say, this is our motto, trust the client. Trust that the client has the best answers to their questions, better than any answer you could possibly come up with. And if you really believe them and have attention and trust them, it's amazing to watch people shine and rise to the occasion.
Oh, it's absolutely. And it's truly understanding that's where the treasure is. The treasure's not you. You just help them find their key so they can find their own treasure. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It really is in the questions, isn't it? It's like, can I ask the question so that they're willing to explore that unknown place inside them where, you know, what I think is that they're afraid of that. There's an unknown place where we've got this power that we're sort of avoiding going to because we know that if we do actually touch on it, then life's going to be very different. Like, I believe the fear of public speaking isn't actually a fear at all. It's an excitement. Because if you stand in front of the stage and you say something so amazing and so profound that you get a standing ovation, you can no longer pretend you have nothing to do.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And actually, I take fear of public speaking, the fear of doing anything in public, falls all the way down to judgment, because you're not really afraid of standing up there and saying, you're afraid of what those 500 people are going to think of you because of what you've said. So it's the perceived judgment of the individual that's looking upon you that actually scares the tar out of you.
Right. Now, that's from the victim-based perspective, but if you look at it from the hero's perspective, you're excited about the impact you might have on those people. And it's and what's the difference? What's the difference between being afraid of how they're going to judge you or being excited about how you're actually going to say something so brilliant that they're going to go, oh my God, this is incredible. You know, it's the same exact feeling in your chest. Two people jump off a bridge with a bungee cord tied around their ankles, and one of them goes, wah! And the other one goes, wee! What's the difference?
It's your perception of it. That's the difference. It's the perception of what you're about to do.
That's right. They're having the exact same. So if you can go at stuff with the hero's perspective, like, you know, I'm not going to go to the gallows because I'm going to get judged. I'm about to see what's meaningful to me, and I'm going to find out because I'm going to put my butt on stage in front of a bunch of people, and I can promise you, you put yourself in that unknown situation, and you're going to find out what's meaningful to you because your heart's going to use your mouth whether you like it or not.
Absolutely. I've got to tell you, Greg, you know, my niece, she was, 7 years old. We had this big event for equine advocates, and she loves horses. So when I told her we were going to do this event to save horses, she got up on that stage, took that microphone with Gladys Knight, of all people, and got up on that stage and told everybody, she goes, spend money to save the horses tonight. And people were like, you know, in awe of this 7-year-old child who had absolutely no fear to get on this stage in front of 500 people and tell them, listen, tonight you need to spend your money. So it was incredible.
If we would do what we've actually been taught to do for a long time, would actually follow through, and that's actually listen to and pay attention to the kids. Your niece had not been taught to be fearful yet. Your niece had not been trained that it's something to be afraid of.
Absolutely.
She didn't know it. She knew no difference.
And I want you to notice something. She had those two qualities, passion and purpose. She cared about the horses, and she basically wanted to do something for them. She's like, we got to save these horses. So she's got the passion, and she's got her purpose. It's amazing to see how we sway people with a simple formula like that.
She tore it up that night. After that, we're like, she's going to be the national spokesperson for equine advocates. But it was incredible. Have you seen, the both of you, Kevin and Greg, have you seen this child who's going out there doing these teacher conferences now? I think he's about 10 or 11 years old, and he goes into these massive teacher conferences with like 1,500 teachers and tells them, do you believe in me? Have you seen him? He was on Oprah, actually, and he speaks just like that. Do you believe in me? But have you seen him, you guys?
I have not.
I have not yet. I'm sure he's on YouTube. I'm sure he's on YouTube,
He's definitely on YouTube. Well, I don't have his name, but he was on Oprah. But put like 11-year-old boy or something. I'll try to have someone pull it up for me right now. But the kid was amazing, and he's like, you know, this little, you know, obviously he doesn't have any fear or anything, but he totally goes up there and just encourages all these teachers, where he gets his standing ovation. So it's incredible.
Wow.
Well, that reminds me. I was going to say, that reminds me of the 13-year-old girl who addressed the UN.
And she addresses the UN, right? Yeah, I think.
Yes.
That's funny. I was going to say the exact same thing. She gets up in front of the UN, and she says, you guys ask us to hold hands and cross the street and look both ways, and you guys are going out there and fighting. You know, it's like you tell us not to fight, you go out and you know, it's like, I mean, it's so raw and so in their face. And they put the camera on these delegates, and you can see them kind of slumping under their seat. You know, there's a whole movement, and I believe it's called Indigo Children. These children that have this wisdom, they're just not willing to settle for this programming anymore, and they're stepping out and saying and doing things. There's a whole group of teenage CEOs that are starting groups, and they're not willing to fit in. I heard recently about a movie that's being made by, I think it's Barry Goldstein, and it's a movie about a whole group of kids that are in the city. They formed a gang that refuses to join gangs, refuses to do anything violent. All they do is go around helping people, singing and dancing and working with each other, and they're totally committed to morals and ethics and virtues, and because they've formed a gang and they stick together, they can't seem to penetrate the thing. They've got this strong bond between them, and they're kids!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of kids, everyone, the speech is called Do You Believe? And it's by Dalton Sherman. So Do You Believe by Dalton Sherman is that child. So check him out on YouTube, schooltube.com. There's all these different things out. But Dalton Sherman, Do You Believe? So I encourage you all to check that out, because you will definitely be encouraged by this child to do what you're supposed to do. So on that note, Kevin, I know you've got, Tamara said that you have a book out.
I do. It's called Coming Out, The Road to Unconditional Love.
Coming Out, really The Road to Unconditional Love.
Yeah.
By Kevin
Lewis. And it's like, yeah, exactly. By Kevin Lewis, yeah.
And where do we find that book?
You can actually get it from Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or my website, LewisLifeCoaching.com.
Perfect. We're going to have to wrap this show up because I'm getting a little message here that it's time to wrap up. Tamara, you can't kill me. That's the fate of the show.
I know. I know. You know what? I want to plug Greg's book, too, Unlock
Absolutely.
Your Heart
so,
Virtue.
Let me do that. Kevin, I got to thank you so much for calling in. We're going to have you on so we can understand your purpose and your passion in life. So we'll have you on an upcoming show in the near future. But definitely thanks for calling in tonight and being part of tonight's show. I want to thank you, and so does Tamara.
Thank you. Take care, Greg.
Have a great
night. Kevin.
Bye-bye now.
So, Greg, you've got a million things to go. I mean, there is so much going on your webpage that definitely everyone go to lifecamp.com. You have your books out. You can get them on Amazon. You have your coaching. Tell us about your coaching and the package real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we typically work with people over a period of weeks because what we find is if you just do one coaching session with people and they kind of disappear. And it's a very Socratic process. If you think about it, there's a bunch of accelerated learning techniques, and most people, you know, for most people, it's about accountability coaching, and that's not what I do. What I do is more like Pavlovian coaching. I believe the greatest self-improvement expert on the planet was a guy named Pavlov, and he proved that if you ring a bell, feed a dog, ring the bell, feed the dog, ring a bell, the dog salivates. So, you know, think about it. He didn't have to show the dog a PowerPoint presentation, and he didn't have to have the dog memorize a bunch of notes, and he didn't have to grade the dog or tell the dog what the process was going to be. He just trained the dog. So the coaching we do, we actually train your nervous system to be heroic and courageous and do what's meaningful in your life instead of doing what's reasonable.
Now, let me ask you a quick question. If the doorbell didn't ring, would the dog learn how to feed himself?
Yeah, really? Really? We got to take them through a very specific process so that when those triggers show up, when we are stimulating the nervous system, tying them to doing courageous activity. So,
I always say if opportunity doesn't knock, build the door.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant.
You know, and if the doorbell doesn't ring, the dog will feed himself, people. So this is the point tonight. Don't wait for someone to ring your damn doorbell because they're not going to ring it. And don't put out your pity party because they didn't ring it. Do this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and
Greg?
If your ship doesn't come in, swim out to it.
Yeah, I love that quote. That's one of Tamara's favorites. And, you know, I mean, and like we were saying
I'm getting its time. So, you know what? Go to lifecamp.com. Craig, can we do an after the show with Tamara? And then we'll have you on again. All right, so everyone, I've got to say a quote tonight from Mother Teresa. Do small things with great love. It's not how much we do, but how much love we put in the doing. And it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into the giving. On that note, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in
tonight. Good night, everybody.
With Tamara. And stay tuned for CBS News because it's coming up. Thanks to Greg at lifecamp.com. I got to go. Sam, do your thing. Everyone, tune in next Sunday to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Have a great week, everyone. Be inspired, be encouraged, and don't wait for someone to ring your bell. Do it yourself.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to The Max. Only on LA Talk Radio.